looking for the thumbs up. Okay. Good morning. I would like to call to order the Programming and Allocations Committee for Wednesday, March 5th. And please note that we have a revised agenda that is at your place and back at the table. May we begin, please, with confirming the roll call, the quorum?
Yes, we do have a quorum.
Great. Thank you very much. Next item is the consent calendar. May I please have a motion to approve the consent calendar?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Tissier, seconded by... I know you would. Seconded by...
Come on, Wiener.
Seconded by Commissioner Wiener. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed. That consent calendar is adopted unanimously. Our next item, moving on, item 3, regional matters. The first item, 3A, is to release the notice for upcoming public hearing proposed amendments to the regional Measure 2 RM2 program for various projects. And I'd like to turn, please, to staff for an update and report on that matter item.
Thanks. Thank Kenneth Follin with MTC staff. And this is item 3A. We are seeking committee approval to release the notice of public hearing for proposed amendments to the RM2 program. And as was noted, there is an updated agenda before you that corrects a clerical error. The item is for committee and not commission approval. And the agenda now matches the actual item in the packet that always had it at the committee approval. The public hearing includes recommendations that deal with projects that cannot be delivered due to delivery or financial obstacles or projects that have cost savings. So I just want to quickly walk through a schedule, the summary of the amendment, and then finally an update on a couple of the projects that's included in the memo there. There are attachments that kind of outline in detail what we went through last month, so I'll leave that for you if you have any questions. But the schedule is essentially that we would come back for a public hearing at your April 9th PAC meeting, and the public comment period would be open between March 19th and April 23rd. And finally, at the May PAC meeting, staff would report to the committee on the public input that was received, as well as make recommendations for adoption of this RM2 strategic delivery plan. The summary of the amendment is included in the packet, but essentially the public hearing would address reassigning $88.3 million among RM2 projects. It would modify the scope of one project, and finally it would modify prior conditions on two projects. And then, as I mentioned, inside of the packet there was some updates or some information on some select projects. And I'll quickly go through those. For the AC Transit Bus Rapid Transit Project, we're working with the staff at the Alameda County Transportation Commission to finalize a funding commitment related to the STIP funds that would be used for the project. For the Fairfield Vacaville Train Station Project in Solano County, we're working with STA and others to secure additional state funding, and a decision on that should be known within the next several months. As we noted last month, for the ferry services, the WETA is working on identifying the next location for ferry service in the East Bay, and the RM2 decision on that is essentially being delayed until 2015. The SMART project, there are recommendations to identify scope to advance the service all the way down to Larkspur. And with Caltrain, we're working with the partners to identifying match to the $20 million of RM2 that's been put forward. And finally, for the Dumbarton Express, we'd be working with the partnership that runs that service to make sure that we're able to procure the buses as the recommendation states for that one. So with that, the recommendation is that this committee, Programming and Allocations Committee, authorize staff to release the public hearing notice and begin a 30-day public comment period.
Great. Thank you very much for that report. Are there any questions? No. Yes, Commissioner Wiener.
Thank you for that report. So I have a question about the Caltrain electrification recommendation. It requires that the Joint Powers Authority match the $20 million. As far as I can tell, that's the only match required of any of these funding categories. And, of course, each of the three members of the JPA, MTA, SamTrans, and VTA have already committed to putting in $60 million each, and which is challenging, but everyone's committed to doing it. So my question is why this particular project, unlike the other projects, is required to do $20 million match.
Commissioner, you're correct that it's an unusual provision, and it's a proposal that we're making to you. You're going to decide whether you want to require the match. The concern that I think we have about the electrification project is twofold. The first is there is another environmental review of the project underway, and I think that review is also going to be updating the cost information. And if I had to bet money, the cost is probably going to go up. And our fear is that it's going to go up greater than the $20 million that we're proposing to allocate. So it's an issue that I think we're going to have to confront sooner or later. If the commission would prefer to confront later, we can do that. But I think it's an issue we're going to have to confront nonetheless. The second question is one that's been raised by the Caltrain administrator itself, Samtrans, which is that a very large fraction of the amount of money that we'd like to commit to the project to do electrification is money that would otherwise be used to rehabilitate the railroad. And it's not like the railroad's getting any younger. So their strong preference is to try to find an alternative source of funding so that we're not relying so heavily on those federal rehabilitation funds. This, again, is an attempt to do so. So I think the reason that this project, alone among others, has this proposed requirement is that I think the funding need here is considerably larger than some of the other projects where we're really providing, I think, the last increment of funding they'll need.
And I appreciate that, and obviously in the end we're all in it together, and we all, the three counties and MTC and others, have to work together to make sure we can fund this critical project in addition to extending, doing the downtown extension. And so I guess what I would request is maybe over the next month to continue to dialogue with the three agencies, because I think there is some concern about this. And I think it also points to the larger issues of, first, that Caltrain just needs a sustainable source of funding that's not just contributions from the ups and downs of the various constituent agencies, and also the importance, and I'll use this opportunity to put in a plug, for the 4th and King possibility of developing those rail yards, and that will generate significant possibilities in terms of funding for the system. And so I hope we'll continue to work with Caltrain to make sure that we're able to clear those vehicles out of that rail yard and put it to really productive use for the system.
Great. Is there any other questions? Okay, I have one public comment. I'd like to call on Andre Carpio. Thank you.
I would like to make an observation for the train is that we will need energy, and so far I haven't heard anything about a power plant or a source of energy that will be something else than a wind and a solar. And I'm talking about a possibility of having nuclear power plant, because we have a problem of desalinization of the water to supply the water, and nuclear plant do provide a source of energy for effective desalinization. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments. If there are there any further comments? If not, may I please have a motion to release the upcoming a notice for the upcoming public hearing on RM2.
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Tissier, seconded by Commissioner Kinsey. Are you you're not a Wednesday. Okay. Commissioner Weiner. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion carries unanimously. Now we will move on to item 3B, which is allocation of $8.7 million in RM2 funds for the Vallejo-Crotola Transit Center project.
Good morning, Commissioners. I am Craig Bosman from the Programming Allocation Staff here to present item 3B. This item proposes the allocation of approximately $8.7 million in Regional Measure 2 capital funds to the Vallejo-Crotola Transit Center project. The funding for this project draws from two RM2 capital competitive grant fund sources. That's the Solano County Express Bus Intermodal Facilities and the Regional Express Bus North. This allocation will fund construction of Phase 1A of the Transit Center, which includes a transit plaza for pedestrian and bus traffic, efficiency improvements to the surface parking lot, and improvements to access roads. Construction is scheduled to begin on that in June 2014, and Soltrans is the implementing agency. With this allocation, all funds currently programmed to the project would be allocated, but I would note that this project is included in the RM2 strategic delivery plan just presented, and MTC staff in that has recommended two additional actions for this project at a later date. That would be receiving $2 million in RM2 funds programmed for the Vallejo station, which is subject to the public hearing you just approved, and receiving $1 million in RM2 funds from within the Regional Express Bus North project from the McDonald Avenue bus stop improvements in Richmond. So the staff recommendation is to refer revised resolutions 3716 and 3889 to the Commission for approval, and I'm available to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Any public comment? Then, yes, Commissioner Kinsey.
There you go.
Great.
Not on the committee, but interested in this. So this is talking about small operators and Clipper. Are we on that one yet?
Not quite yet, no.
Okay, thank you. Okay. I'll hold to there.
All right. We'll get to that. Sure. Okay, great. Well, then, with that, may I please have a motion to adopt item 3B? It's moved by Commissioner Weiner, seconded by Commissioner Tissier. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? That motion carries unanimously. Okay, we will now move on to federal funds and item 4A, which is the Transit Performance Initiative TPI Incentive Program. So I'd like to turn to staff for a report on that item.
Thanks. Item 4A, this is Kenneth Follin again. This is the Transit Performance Initiative Incentive Program, a round two programming of projects. This program is a commitment that came out of the Transit Sustainability Project, and it was a $60 million commitment over 4 years. So this is the second round of funding for this program, and it rewards ridership and productivity by the transit operators. The commission established the formula for this program, and the agencies actually select the projects based on the funds coming through that formula. The funds available are in Attachment 1, and then the actual projects that were submitted this round are in Attachment 2. And all agencies do have the possibility of leaving funding in reserve for a future round. So with that, we are recommending programming $13.6 million to the projects listed in the second attachment there and referring this resolution 4035 to the commission for approval.
Great. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes, Commissioner Bates.
Thank you. So I gather this was supposed to be to reward those who actually made a difference. Is that right? In the first year in terms of the ridership? And
the formula established, if you recall, it was the first breakdown of the formula is between the large and small operators. So 85% of the funding for the large operators, 15% for the small. And then on attachment one, in the very top, it shows how the formula breaks down between the groups, between passenger increase and annual passengers per hour and annual passengers. So it's essentially a rolling 3-year average, and each time, if you had a really good year, that would go into the 3-year calculation, and it should improve the numbers and the amount of funding that you get.
Can you single out those who improved?
Yeah, I think based on the estimate that we gave you, which was from a prior, which was 1 year before, the numbers were for the most part very similar. I think the largest jump for the small operators in that pot was a 7% jump for the ferry service, and a lot of that had to do with the fact that the hours may have gone down and passengers went up. For the larger operators, the biggest positive jump was for BART, and they went up about 4%. And again, I think that's due to their ridership increase that has been at a slightly higher clip than the other agencies. But all of the changes for the large operators were within a 5% margin from the estimates that we brought to this committee.
Okay, so that estimate showed an increase, though? I mean, so
I'm sorry?
Like singling out, for instance, just looking at Caltrains and Golden Gate and maybe AC Transit, how do we determine whether or not they actually had more ridership?
Well, the formula takes that into account, but we could provide you with the kind of detail behind that formula that would show you how the formula was impacted by both ridership and productivity.
So I think that would be helpful. I think that would be helpful.
Okay.
Thank you.
We can get you that.
Great. Thank you. Commissioner Hagerty.
Yes, thank you. I'm just trying to make heads or tails of this, and I actually think it's actually pretty easy for me to understand, but I want to make sure I am. When looking at under the small operator distribution summary, for example, I'll just be parochial for a minute, and I'll go with LAVTA, which was they show that the allocation could be $53,000, correct? And then you move across and you see the reserve, which is 53,857, which is the exact same amount. My assumption is LAVTA has elected not to take that money.
That's right? Correct.
And so they're obviously entering into a situation in which they could maybe save up 3 years and then draw it down. Is that correct?
That's correct. At this point, there's no timely use from the commission's perspective on these funds. So especially for the small operators, it's not always a lot of money. So they can build up 1, 2, or 3 years and then use it for something they consider.
So then that leads me to my question. How dangerous is it for LAB to leave money sitting in reserves?
Well, the commission made the commitment, established the formula. I think it's fairly safe in this reserve. It would require an action by the commission to change that.
So we have no intention, like in the next 3 years, of changing the funding criteria, and this should be relatively safe, leaving it over in the reserves.
This was a 4-year program, correct me if I'm wrong,
yep.
Kenneth. So I think our expectation is by the fourth year that they would propose a project to use the money. So
I'm more worried about year 1 and 2 leaving money hanging out and then the commission later saying, well, wait a minute, we have all this money in reserve. So what I'm just really getting at is it's safe right now. If they spend it, I think, as you just said, Alex, in the next 4 years, they'll be fine. Nobody's going to try to rip it off or anything.
Correct. Our goal is to have the funds used efficiently. So for a smaller operator, using 3 years of funds may make a lot more sense in terms of being able to put it to a project that is meaningful for them.
Okay.
So we're supportive
Thank you.
Of that. Great.
Thank you very much. Is there any public comment? And then with no further discussion, may I please have a motion to adopt, to refer to the commission MTC Resolution Number 4035 revised. Moved by Commissioner Bates, seconded by Commissioner Tissier. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? That motion carries unanimously. Okay, moving on to item 4B, which is authorize the call for projects for the Transit Performance Initiative TPI Investment Program Round 2 and Program $10.7 million for the Clipper Phase 3 implementation. MTC Resolutions Number 4035 revised and 3925 revised. I'd like to turn back to staff for a report on this item, please. Thank you.
Thanks. This item, as you just mentioned, has two components. The first is for this committee to authorize a call for project for the TPI investment round 2. And the second component is to refer a $10.7 million Clipper Phase 3 funding recommendation to the commission for approval. So a quick background on the TPI investment program. It was another commitment out of the Transit Sustainability Project for $82 million. And it was essentially meant for low-cost capital improvements that improve operations or the customer experience. There was $28 million programmed in round 1, and what we're recommending today is the programming of round two and to open it up to all operators and modes. There is one highlighted in the middle of the memo there. We are recommending a $19 million competitive program this time with an $8 million investment to complete the small operator Clipper implementation. And then at the bottom of the memo there, we are also recommending $3 million from the STP CMAC small operator reserve to shore up or finalize the last dollars in on the Clipper small operator implementation. And you will be, or the operation committee on March 14th will kind of get a full report on that Clipper activity. So if the commission was to, or the committee was to approve the authorization for the call for projects today, we would come back in several months with recommendations on a project list for the call for projects for this. So with that, we are requesting that you authorize, the committee authorize staff to release the round two call for projects, and then again referring resolution 4035 to the commission for approval.
Great. Thank you. I know Commissioner Kinsey, if you had a question, please.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's never too early, I guess. Thank you. I think the a key point I wanted to make is these last two items are investments in improving the efficiency of our transit. And when we're dealing with a situation where the congestion is getting worse and worse and worse, I think we need to point out the things that we are doing. And so I think this is an important step. And then the second point I wanted to make was I really appreciate finally getting to the small operators with Clipper. And, of course, Clipper is our, you know, best effort to make it easier to use transit everywhere. And by expanding it to small operators, we're getting the reach further. So, you know, I don't know what we're going to talk about in our workshop with the commission about how we're going to communicate this ever-increasing congestion to the larger Bay Area, but I do think we need to be identifying these kinds of incentive programs that we're trying to use to make transit more effective. And in that regard, I would also say I agree with Commissioner Bates that illustrating the performance of these agencies is a good thing. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Kinsey. Commissioner Haggerty, and then
you,
I see Commissioner Kwan. Is your light on? Great.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to just thank staff for, you know, now getting around to the small operators, and I mean that as a compliment. They've been very anxious to get there, and I know that LABDA and some of the other agencies, I think 3CTA and Tri-Delta all sent a letter in probably about a year and a half ago asking that they could be in line. So I think it's good that we're finally getting out there. But I did want to talk about or just ask a question. Are we doing any coordination with ACE at all on this to maybe – I mean, a lot of these people are transferring over to BART from ACE, and are we reaching out to them? And I think I remember in the back of my mind that ACE is kind of going in a different direction, which I believe maybe is not good. But is there any way that we could kind of get them to work together?
Commissioner Haggerty, it's Carol Kuster, Director of Electronic Payments. Yes, we have been in some conversations with ACE. We don't have a solution that looks like it's going to be a fit at this time, and I believe they're going ahead with their own fare collection system. There are some significant challenges with the kind of service that they operate, and as well, they are a multi-county, long-haul operator. And so some of the challenges that we discussed had to do with distribution of the Clipper card out in the far reaches of their service area. We talked in specific about a low-cost mobile payment option, but there were some challenges there as well for folks who would be potentially commuting in with that kind of option and then still needing to carry the traditional Clipper card for services within our region. I can tell you that we are starting to look ahead to our next generation of Clipper service, what our next Clipper system will look like, and we are taking into account all of these challenges, distribution, flexibility for folks to add value easily without accessing machines, and also more flexible options for things like mobile payments. So
it might be good that, as I realize I'm way ahead of the implementation, but it might be good when we do get around to having it on the smaller operators that we either get on the trains or get on the platforms and hand out Clipper cards. And the reason I say this is we might even want to work with ACE and other people
other transit agencies to see if there's some kind of a discount we could give if you, you know, stay on transit. I know it's getting harder and harder for the Air District to do shuttle grants, and they're probably in a phase-out mode at this point. But anything, once you hit Alameda County, certainly those people, if they're transferring to transit, that they should be using the Clipper card. And I don't know that it's that big of a deal for them to carry two cards. It would be nice to have it seamless, but nice isn't always the best way to do it either.
Commissioner, if I could just chime in on this, because I think you said the magic words, and that's incentive. And you can say incentive or disincentive, one or the other. You're the elected official, so you said incentive. I'm the bureaucrat, so I can say disincentive. The price issue is one that we've had a very difficult time tackling. Generally speaking, the transit operators have been reticent about pricing Clipper to an advantage so that more people will use it. That's what price does. AC Transit now does have a small price differential that you get a break if you use Clipper. In Washington, we just had a very interesting briefing from them. They have driven people in droves to their smart card by pricing the MagStripe ticket, the magnetic stripe ticket, higher. And I really think we're going to have to cross that Rubicon if we're going to get Clipper where we want it to be. You know, right now we're sort of stalled out at 50% market share for Muni and BART, which, you know, compared to 5 years ago is great, but it's 50%. And Washington's, you know, in the 80s, Chicago's on its way. I mean, that's where you want to be. That's where we sort of are with Fast Track now. And, you know, you can't market your way to that number. You're going to have to deal with price and really show folks that if you get Clipper, you get a break. That's one of the issues that we're working on with the transit systems when we look at this next generation of Clipper. You know, I think we made our own mistake in that we sold Clipper 1.0 as you don't have to change anything you're doing.
Right.
We'll put it all on the card, right? And as a result, the card is like horrendously complicated because it's got some, how many fare combinations?
4,000 plus?
Oh, no.
4,000. How about that? Good old coordinated Bay Area. And what we're trying to turn the corner on with Clipper 2.0 is why don't we take the opportunity to streamline all that stuff?
Yep.
At least agree on what a kit is, right? Because they don't agree with each other on what a youth is right now. So that's where I think we need to make the most headway. And it's a sensitive area because it's their fare policy. And they jealously guard it, and they resent when we try to get involved. But that's what's going to make Clipper a success or not.
Maybe it would be good to have some sort of workshop or have a committee look at that, where they, you know, look at what happened in Chicago and D.C. and maybe New York or whatever, so we all understand that a little better.
I agree.
And then we might be more incentivized to take that issue on as the regional MPO.
Well, and I think the transit general managers that we've been meeting with, I think, are willing to take a new look at these issues. And I will say that I think that represents a different approach than what we heard from their counterparts, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when we got started on Clipper.
Okay, great. Commissioner Kwan and then Commissioner McKenzie.
Can I understand, so were these, all these proposals, were these things that have been in line for several years? People applied for these years ago, and this is just the next phase?
You're referring to Clipper, Commissioner?
All the Clipper-funded programs here under B.
Yeah, the basic approach we took with Clipper was we started with the large systems first. Those were the founding members, and then we branched out from there. So it was basically big guys first and then the small systems second.
So I noticed that there are quite a few bike projects, and you and I had a discussion about bikes yesterday. So there's bike parking here and other programs. So if I wanted to get Oakland considered for bike parking at BART as part of the system, do we have to do a new application, or are these like things that you had to apply for years ago?
I think that this specific program that we're looking at right now, the TPI investment program, the commission approved it as part of the transit sustainability program, and it was $82 million, and it was directed for sort of the trunk systems. A couple example of projects from the first round that were approved was $10 million for the AC Transit Line 51, kind of a corridor speed improvements, and then there were a couple projects in San Francisco, the Anjuda and the Mission Mobility Project. So I think this specific program was designated or assigned by the commission to address the urban core network and to speed transit along really high ridership routes.
So, but I'm just saying, I see in here that there's bike parking for San Francisco and a couple other locations, and that there are bike lanes in other areas, including ours. But there's a lot of bike stuff in here. But if I hadn't, and Oakland is pretty aggressively trying to put bike parking at all of our BART stations. So if we weren't there 2 years ago, but we are there now, can we be considered?
Commissioner Kwan, could you just confirm which item you're looking at?
I'm just looking at all the attachments under B, which I thought we were talking about. Are we not?
Oh, I see. So in order to identify some funding for Clipper, we're actually amending a resolution that has a lot of past commission actions. Mm-hmm. And so those actions primarily are from the One Bay Area Grant Program, which we did provide money to
but
the counties to select
program.
Projects. So the only thing that's changing are the highlighted sections. All the other projects were selected previously by the commission and approved by the commission.
But that's what my first question was, are these programs that were in line for several years, et cetera?
I think we'd have to walk through the different types because, like I said, a lot of them were through the One Bay Area Grant, which the counties selected projects.
So it's only the highlighted items in each section that you're changing?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, thank you.
All right, great. Yes, Commissioner McKenzie.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm always pleased when our executive director comes up with classical allusions crossing the Rubicon. It's grand, and we all should remember that when Caesar crossed the Rubicon, there were consequences to that action, and he was inexorably moving forward to his fate. So we'll have to be very careful wherever the executive director decides to establish this particular Rubicon. That being said, in the Operations Committee, Vice Chair Kinsey and myself, of course, stand ready to tackle these problems that, one, will be coming in front of the committee next Friday, but also the suggestion from Commissioner Haggerty. Certainly it would seem appropriate that the Operations Committee could concern itself with a more expansive view, and I think we will be. I'd just like to add to Commissioner Kinsey's comments the fact that these smaller operators do include SMART, and in fact we have been patiently waiting in the North counties to come to this phase of Clipper implementation, and we have had a series of conversations which continue as to how to integrate our passenger rail service and SMART into the existing bus systems and what will become shuttle bus systems connecting our future passengers to SMART. So I'm delighted with this item. I'm looking forward with my Vice Chair, Commissioner Kinsey, to working in this field, and undoubtedly we will work with Executive Director Heminger on establishing the exact location of the Rubicon. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner McKenzie. Is there any public comment on this item? Yes, Commissioner Spearing.
I just want to join the chorus of thanking Steve and the staff for, you know, promoting this, especially in the North Bay counties. You know, the one thing is we promote public transit in the rural parts. It has to be as seamless as possible, and this does that. And it really helps us promote public transit so people feel very comfortable traveling through the whole system. I've told Steve this before. I really think Clipper is one of MTC's greatest accomplishments, you know, really bringing all these transit operators. And I think it's in its infancy. I think that eventually, Steve, we're going to get to where you want to go, because I think the operators are going to have to address these fares and how do we promote it. And as you travel around the country where you're seeing these disincentives that are employed, they're successful. And we really need to consider that in this region. And I hope that MTC is going to provide the leadership in bringing that issue forward and that we put as much pressure as we can on the transit operators. But I just want to applaud the staff. I really think this is a major step forward in promoting transit in the region. And I just wanted to thank and compliment staff.
Great. Yes, Commissioner Bates.
Join the chorus of congratulating the staff, but I'm wondering, once we go through with this, will this mean that all small operators will be on Clipper and that are operating currently in our region?
That's the proposal. The funding that we're putting forth should implement Clipper on all the operators in the region.
Great. We need to have a celebration when that happens.
Yes.
If I could just inject a note of caution. You know, Clipper takes a while to implement, as you all recall. So this is not going to happen next week. And maybe, Carol, just to inject the dose of realism, can you give us a sense of schedule on the various sectors of the small systems?
Sure. I'll stick to the highest level. But right now, the change order that we will be seeking approval for at next week's Operation Committee would see Clipper implemented on East Bay operators by the end of 2015 and on North Bay operators in the first half of 2016. So it is there is a lengthy lead time. There is significant software engineering work that needs to occur, and then there's significant deployment of hardware that needs to occur on all of the various vehicles and in bus yards throughout those two regions.
I think it's worth noting as well, one thing that's going to make it more complicated than normal is we've got a stockpile of the devices, right, that you see on the buses. That stockpile has been winnowing down with the large systems as they replace their equipment, as they expand. And so we really don't have enough of that to do all the small systems. So some of the small systems are actually going to get a new generation of equipment. But we want to make darn sure that new generation works before we stick it on the buses and use live customers.
Great question. Yes, Commissioner Halstead.
Could you just remind us of what the thought is about the next phase of Clipper, when that might be introduced and when we might start working on it and what the program is?
Well, we've already started, and I just whispered to Andy that what I think we really owe the Operations Committee a briefing because there's been a lot of work going on with the transit operators. I've been meeting monthly with the general managers. The staff has been doing a lot of due diligence around the United States and elsewhere. There are very different models from what we did in Clipper 1.0. And I think the good news this time is we are lagging behind a lot of other folks. So there are a lot of other systems on the bleeding edge, and we don't have to be like we were with Clipper 1.0. So we have a lot of places to learn from. But our contract, the current contract for Clipper 1.0, expires in 2019. Given the length of these procurements, we can't wait till 2018 to put the bid out. It's probably, a year, 18 months away from trying to get something out for the private sector to bid on. We've got a lot of work ahead of us.
Great, thank you. Yes, Commissioner Tissier.
Just to join that happy party, I think I'll make the motion to make everybody happy on 4B, 1 and 2.
Great. Okay, so that's a motion to authorize staff to release 19 million TPI investment calls for projects. And then the second item would be to refer to the commission for the commission's approval to program $10.7 million in Cycle 2 STIP CMAC funds for a Clipper Phase 3 implementation, including $8 million from the TPI investment program and $2.7 million from the STIP CMAC small operator program. And is there a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Weiner. Before we call for the question, I just wanted to add my thanks, and I think Commissioner McKenzie, why don't you please go ahead as the chair of the Operations Committee?
Yeah, since we were mentioned, I think it's fair to say that staff has been keeping us informally briefed on this progress. We do have a ad hoc committee within operations committee of Commissioner Halstead and myself, who's been working, as I think you all know, on transportation management systems in its largest view, but we are going to be meeting after this committee today, and we will be getting a full briefing, as we always do, immediately before next Friday's operations committee. So rest assured, Executive Director Heminger, we've not been neglected.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Chair McKenzie. I just wanted to also thank the staff for your leadership, representing a county in the East Bay. This small operators has been near and dear to our hearts. And I just really want to thank staff that worked very, very cooperatively and a lot of hours with the smaller operators to come together with this program. And I also want to thank Commissioner Hagerty for his leadership. I know that he's played a real key role in bringing together the small East Bay operators. And one of the things that I know that this will be to coordinate those fares more. So perhaps we really are going to be on the leading edge in terms of that concept of cooperation in terms of, creating similar fares. And this has been tremendously popular with the East Bay public. They, jumped on Clipper with BART. Many commuters use BART. And I think following up on Commissioner Kinsey's point about supporting transit in many of our East Bay communities, the smaller operators represent the last mile. They represent the transit connection from home to BART, and they're particularly important, and the folks that are currently taking transit for their entire trip are really anxious and looking forward to having the Clipper in place. So, again, I really want to thank staff. I also want to thank our community relations outreach staff to working with the youth on the Clipper. I know there's been a real effort to get young people getting Clipper cards, and they love them. So I think that we'll have this opportunity in the East Bay, too, since a lot of our youth use the small operators to get to school and, take BART. So with that, again, thanks to the staff, because I know you've worked incredibly hard to bring this forward to the small operators. So with that, all in favor? Aye. Opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Thank you again to everyone who's worked so hard to move this forward. Okay, so now we'll move on to item 4C, which is the new Freedom Cycle 5 program of projects for the region's large urbanized area, MTC resolution number 4135. And I'd like to turn to staff, please, for a report.
Hi, I'm Drennan Shelton from the planning section. I'm here to present the proposed program of projects for MTC's fifth cycle of New Freedom for the region's large urbanized areas. As background, let me remind you that the Section 5317 New Freedom is a federal transit administration program that provides grants for new capital and operating projects aimed at reducing transportation barriers faced by individuals with disabilities beyond the requirements of the Americans with Disabilities Act. Cycle 5 consists of fiscal year 12 funds, so this is our last year under Safety Loop. Funds are apportioned by formula to urbanized areas based on the population of persons with disabilities in each area. MTC is the designated recipient of the Bay Area's large urbanized area funds, and we're responsible for conducting the competitive selection process for those funds. Caltrans is the designated recipient for small urbanized areas and rural area funds, and they conduct their call for projects separately. In September, the Commission adopted the guidelines, Resolution 4116, for this competitive selection of Cycle 5 projects. The total funding available is just over $2 million for the Bay Area's five large urbanized areas, and staff issued a call for projects in October. We received 15 applications, totaling $3.1 million in requests. Staff convened an evaluation panel in January where applications were evaluated and scored based on need and benefits, coordination, partnership and outreach, and project readiness. As recommended by MTC's Coordinated Public Transit Human Services Transportation Plan, there was an increased emphasis on mobility management and coordination for this cycle of New Freedom. Additional points were awarded to projects that included specific coordination activities that resulted in better utilization of and access to resources. Attachment 1 in this item is the proposed program of projects, which includes funding for 12 projects total. This attachment also lists the applications from highest to lowest score and shows the recommended grant amounts. Those recommended grant amounts were based on a project score relative to other projects within the same urbanized area and the scalability of the project if competing in an urbanized area where funding was oversubscribed. The urbanized area funding constraints resulted in some instances where lower scoring projects are recommended for funding even when a higher scoring project is not fully funded. All project sponsors have been consulted on any scope or budget modifications due to eligibility or reduced funding recommendations. As noted, there was that increased emphasis on mobility management for this round of funding, and it resulted in fewer applications but more coordinated projects. 7 of the 12 applications recommended for funding are mobility management projects. So staff asks that you refer this program of projects, Resolution 4135, to the Commission for approval, and I'm happy to try to answer your questions.
Great. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Okay. With that, is there any public comment? Then may I please have a motion to forward Resolution Number 4135 to the Commission for its approval. Moved by Commissioner Wiener, seconded by Commissioner Tissier. Great. And I just wanted to thank staff. I think that many of our counties are really focusing on mobility management, so the services are focused on the individual trying to access the service and increase the efficiency of the resources that we have. So I want to thank that you for that initiative. And just note that the La Mirinda Spirit Band is actually under the auspices of the City of Lafayette. So that's correct in that. Any further comments? All right. With that, all in favor? Aye. Opposed? That motion carries unanimously. Thank you again. Okay, moving on, our next item is public comment. I don't have any speaker cards. Is there any public comment? All right, then we will adjourn the Programming and Allocations Committee to our next meeting, which will be on Wednesday, April 19th, 2014.